We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
It's time for the Mountaineer Insider Podcast. Get insight into your favorite West Virginia University teams and hear exclusive interviews. Now, let's go live inside our MSN studios. Here's your host of the Mountaineer Insider, Dan Zangrilli.
And hey again, Mountaineer Nation. It's the Mountaineer Insider Podcast here on MSN. Appreciate you tuning us in. We know you have a lot of other podcast options out there, and we're appreciative for you and your choosing this Mountaineer Insider Podcast. Well, wish we had a little bit more basketball to talk about. We do on the women's front. They're in action. They've put together a couple of really big games against Oklahoma and Texas, 92 points on the 17th-ranked Longhorns. But on this podcast, I want to primarily focus on the football side of things. I know West Virginia well into the offseason, but with the men's basketball program having the Baylor game postponed, wiped off the table, and a couple of home games against TCU on January 16th, and then the one against Oklahoma State on the 19th taken off because of the COVID-19 thresholds. This is a great opportunity to really focus in on and appreciate and give the due diligence to the consensus All-American that is Darius Stills. When an award comes out with everybody, you know, post-bowl game in basketball mode, I think this is something that, yes, yeah, certainly it got some play, right? But did we cover it, I think, or would we have covered it maybe as closely as we are now, because our attention has been deviated from basketball with three games for the time being wiped off the table on the men's hardwood. So that's what I want to focus on this week. It's Darius Stills, a consensus All-American, first West Virginia defensive lineman in over 60 years to win this honor, and the first consensus All-American in a Mountaineer uniform since 2006. These don't come around very often, and that's not to say that West Virginia hasn't had a shortage of great players. Anytime you're the 15th winningest all-time program in college football history, you have to do that with a number of great players. But consensus All-Americans don't grow on trees. I think you know this. And I want to spend a lot of time here talking about and with Darius Stills. So he's going to be stopping by the program here in just a moment. And I want to focus on what went through his head about playing in this bowl game. And yeah, there were the storylines going into the game against Tennessee, then Tennessee gets wiped off the table, then against Army. How rare it is in this day and age for a guy to, especially with Darius Stills, who has so much to lose, right, as it pertains to a pro career. They just, if it's not a New Year's Six, if it's not the college football playoff, they're turning the page and they're moving on. We've seen this over the last few years happen here at West Virginia, so we're no different than any other college football program. But he made up his mind early, and he stuck with that. And it shows you a lot about the kid, but it also, I think, shows you a lot about the type of player and the hunger that he has. And that's what I really want to focus on in this podcast. Along with Darius Stills, Jordan Leslie, defensive coordinator, co-D coordinator, coaches the front for West Virginia. The just admiration and respect that Jordan Leslie has for Darius, I think, is going to be evident. But I want to talk about now what is next for Darius, because all of us have a great and deep appreciation for what he's done, what he did, I think, in that bowl game, and just an amazing Mountaineer career. If you could draw it up, is there anything more storybook than a kid who comes from Mountaineer bloodlines, growing up in the state of West Virginia, playing at a nearby high school, and then maybe being snubbed by some schools, eventually getting a shot at his school, right, and doing what he did, becoming a consensus All-American? You're going to be hard-pressed to find a story like this, and one of the all-time greats, I think, he's going to go down as in WVU history. But we're all going to be rooting for the highest level of success professionally and personally for Darius Stills. So I want to get into the weeds on what he projects as now that he is really just turning the page immediately, focusing on his pro career, getting ready for the NFL Combine, getting ready for the draft. Hopefully he'll be as high a selection as we hope. What that is, I'm not sure, quite honestly. So I talked to Jordan Leslie about that, and I want to bend Jordan's ear on what he's hearing from teams that are no doubt calling him up, trying to say, hey, what do you got on Darius Stills? What do you think he projects as? Give me some insight. Give me some intel. I'm sure there's a lot of feedback that not only Jordan's getting, but Darius is getting as well directly from some of these NFL teams as they pop on the film and they figure out, wow, this is a pretty interesting, versatile defensive lineman that could play a number of different techniques for us, that has a number of different skill sets. Could he be a little undersized? Sure, but whatever he lacks maybe in height at 6'1", boy, does he absolutely positively just go way outside of the confines of what is truly needed or what you typically get from a Big 12 defensive lineman in many respects. So all of that is still to come here on the Mountaineer Insider. Appreciate you joining us. Hope you enjoy this podcast. I had a lot of fun going deep into things with Jordan Leslie and Darius Stills. So we'll chat with number 56 when we come back here on the Mountaineer Insider.
Today tastes like game day at home, like assigned couch seating. Tastes like coffee table dining and an ice cold Coke to cool down the heat. It tastes like the game you've waited for all week with friends you've known your whole life. Today tastes like watching football is supposed to, and it never tasted this good. Coca-Cola, together tastes better.
So Darius, it's been a whirlwind for you. The last handful of weeks, obviously, thinking that you're going to play Tennessee, deciding to play in the bowl game, and then you wind up with the change in opponent, which was no small thing. I do want to talk about that a little bit, but tell us where you're at right now as we tape this podcast, what you're doing, and where your focus is as we speak.
Right now I'm in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, training at XB Sports twice a day, 5 days a week. Well, actually 6 days a week. But right now I'm just preparing my mind and my body the way it should be to go to the NFL. And
what are you learning over the last week, 10 days, however long it's been since you went down to Florida. You mentioned mind and body. That's a twofold thing here, and both have to be trained literally over these next 3 months, which are going to be so crucial to you. So what has been learned on both of those fronts from you?
It's just learn how to take care of myself in general, mind and body. You know, really, from here on out, it's a physical, like, you know, everybody's athletic enough in the NFL, but it's all about how you separate yourself. That's a mental part of it. So really, I'm just working on my mental, and everything's going well. I'm excited about how far I've come just in a week.
What goes into the mental training, conditioning, and maybe in some cases changing mindsets and doing things differently? I mean, this is all illuminating. So especially on that, I mean, everybody thinks, oh, you're training, you're lifting weights, you're working on your explosiveness, all of the combine stuff that you see on the NFL Network, but there's a lot more to it, and this is the more to it. So what's going into that?
Really just learning myself on what I need to work on, what my strengths and weaknesses are. And every day we're getting pushed to the limit on our weaknesses, but also learn how our strengths are too, and just learn how to just really get better as a football player mentally and physically. And the meals, you know, I got meal, like I'm on the meal prep, you know, I like it a lot because actually it's very strict. And I'm going to be a good football player, or better football player than what I am now. And I'm excited.
What's on your checklist? Some of the feedback that you're getting to go to the next level, you want to go as high as you possibly can in the draft, and whatever, every NFL team is going to have an objection here. He can't do this. He can't do that. Whatever the case may be, you're probably getting a lot of that right now, which is good. I'm curious as to what that feedback is and how you're working to overcome that.
The feedback really for me is just, I've talked to a lot of NFL D-line coaches, and they told me just stay disruptive. You know, they like my speed, my quickness, agility. They like my motor. They like how I can chase a guy down 30 yards, but the next play, just get right back at it. But and also just learning how to just use my leverage and length to my advantage. You know, some D-linemen are 6'5", 6'4", but they get taught to just stay low every play. But really with me, I'm already low, and my leverage is there, so they don't really got to teach that. But just for me, just to get stronger and get better physically, mentally, and everything like that.
Are you hearing where you may fit best or how you project? I was talking to Jordan Leslie here a short time ago. He thinks that probably a three technique, maybe four eye. I'm not sure what sort of feedback you're getting from that standpoint. And the league obviously is changing all the time. So I'm curious as to what teams are saying in that respect.
A lot of teams out on the West Coast like me a lot just because I fit their scheme. You know, I'm a three tech, so really – there's not a lot of teams that have that four down front, but, like, you know, people move around. So just for me, I'm a three tech, and but I'm working out. I've been working my angles, my dropbacks and stuff, just in case if something happens, you know. But, like, I'm kind of broadening what I can do. And just Raiders like me a lot, the Cowboys. I got done talking to the Cleveland Browns and the Cardinals head coach. I mean, not head coach, D-line coach yesterday. And they said they like me a lot, and they like what I bring to the table.
And what do they like when you have these conversations that are going well? What are they reinforcing about your game?
Just how disruptive I am, and even if I don't make the play, I affect the play somehow, some way, like just by penetrating a gap, making the running back cut back when he don't want to, just stuff like that. And they just like how I'm active in there instead of just holding up gaps.
How important is versatility for a guy like a Darius Stills, right? You're trying to get to the next level, and you just don't want to be a three tech, right? At day's end, you want to have more tools in your toolbox. And the game is going in that direction as well, where they require guys like you to be able to do more. What are you trying to add?
Work on my position work. You know, like I said, I've been doing dropbacks in practice, you know, in case if something happens, I end up on the outside and I got drop back in coverage. So really just making myself put more tools in my toolbox. And that's really what NFL teams like about me. I can play the one tech, the zero tech, and then I can jump out to the five and rush the passer. So it's really just, they like my versatility and they like how I just get after it no matter what position I play.
Speaking of playing, you played in the bowl game, which is crazy, I think, for a lot of folks. And you've talked about this and the importance of being able to finish what you started. But I'm curious as to why you didn't sit out, especially when there was a change of opponent and style of play It's one thing to say, yeah, I'm going to play against Tennessee. It's a completely different ballgame where you're going to be facing triple option and cut blocks and things of that nature against Army. For a defensive lineman, or really any defensive player for that matter, in any front, Darius, that's a red flag, and some could go as far as saying that that's dangerous.
Yeah, I mean, but football is a dangerous sport, you know. You can get hurt playing anybody. And the thing is, I'm a ball player, and I play football. I play whoever, whenever. And I don't like – in my sophomore year, went to a bowl game. A lot of the top-tier guys on the team opted out, and we just felt like we got abandoned by the team. And I promised myself from then on out, like, if I ever get an opportunity to be that big guy on the team, not to do that, because we played the first 10 games, so why not play one more? Mm-hmm. And I don't want to see my guys go into battle without me, because I know that, especially versus Army, that we need to stop the run. And I knew I could be the best guy for that position. Like, Dante and I had to stop that run. And, yeah, basically just –
I mean, you left an everlasting image, both you and he. Obviously, the fact that you mentioned how important it was for you and he to be playing your final game together, but also just the fact that how disruptive you guys were so early. I mean, there was no A gap for the Black Knights. That was unbelievable. Jed was telling me, and he told us on the radio side, that you guys were just, I don't know if it was you or Dante, fired up. I think somebody said, they can't touch me, they can't guard me, which was absolutely awesome.
Yeah, that was me. You know, gets Army, the way they come off the ball is different from any other team we played. And we had to match their intensity. Like, you saw, I jumped off sides like twice. Because I'm just trying. I haven't jumped off sides all year.
Right, that's a good point.
I just knew that, like, we just had to bring that intensity or match it or get better. So really just meeting them where they were, and I knew going into the game that they never played somebody as big, strong, and as fast as our D-line. So that was our advantage. So we just had to bring it.
So as a legacy guy with your dad playing, and everybody just automatically draws that conclusion, that lineage of the importance that he had in your football life and your career. And listen, he did, obviously, no doubt about it. But I wonder if enough has been made about your relationship with your mom, and more importantly, her role in the football element of things. And it's not just carpooling, driving you from practice, or helping out at the concession stand at Fairmont Senior, any of that sort of thing. Like, there's like legitimate involvement and fingerprints on your football life.
Oh yeah. Like, my mom, you know, she had breast cancer. She got diagnosed my senior year of high school, and she still took us to camps, all of them down the East Coast. I remember going to North Carolina one day, Pitt the next, and then Marshall the next day. So just, even though she was fighting breast cancer, she still like knew that we had a future with football, and she just powered through it. And I've seen my mom cry, struggle, you know, yeah, no money growing up. And I knew that was something that I knew that I was in the best position to change that. So just really just being able to change my family's life has motivated me through this whole thing.
You know, you say that, but maybe other people didn't feel that way or share that same sentiment, right? Because, listen, I know everybody, you know, coming out of high school, there's a lot of eyeballs on Dante, but you have never maintained that there was a lack of confidence or doubt in your game that you would ever be in this position where we are sitting here talking about a crucial 3-month period in your life where you get ready for the NFL draft as a consensus All-American. Never a doubt, huh?
Never, because I knew what type of player I could be, and I just had to get the right person to believe in it. And I knew from the very beginning that Dawson and I have a ability that no one else has that or have we've seen before. So we just knew that we just had to take it and run with it and just work hard and just stay humble and just keep on grinding, and it's all working out. But at the end of the day, I know I still got way more work to do leading up to the draft and also in the NFL. So I'm just staying humble and just keep on working.
Did you leave WVU a better place than you found it?
Yeah, 100%. Just the culture, just everything around it. You know, going into my freshmen are scared. You know, whoever says they're not is lying. Freshmen are scared going in there because you don't know when you're going to play. You don't know if you peaked in high school. You don't know. There's just a lot of stuff that goes through your head, but you can't let that affect you at all. You just got to keep on working. And at the end of the day, you don't know what's going to happen. And so you got 4 more years to change your life forever and just – honestly, just stick to the grind, man. Stuff don't always go your way, but at the end of the day, you just believe in yourself. You know what type of football player you can be.
Have you had an opportunity to digest what you did, especially the consensus All-American, when you look at the list and the names on that? And West Virginia is the 15th all-time winningest program There's not a ton of names on that consensus All-American list, and the ones that are on that list are, I mean, it's big-time stuff. And I understand, as soon as the bowl game is over, you have to turn your attention to April and the draft and getting ready for that these next 3 months, so you cannot deviate your focus whatsoever. Yeah. Have you had a moment to be able to wrap your mind around exactly what you've been able to do, or will you? Because that is such a big deal, Darius.
Yeah, I don't think I will, because at the end of the day, you know, what I did in college, it matters, but I got a future in the NFL, so I got to just bring in that same energy to the NFL. Because, you know, some people get all these awards but then think they've arrived and don't think they can work. And I just know how to keep on working. So it hit me a little bit, like, oh, I'm an All-American. But at the end of the day, I know I got more ball to play and more people to prove. So I'm just staying down and keep working.
On to the next, man. Keep that focus acute and your eye on the prize, and it's all going to turn out well for you. And you've got a massive support system of 1.8 million here that have your back. And we appreciate everything that you've done and you're going to continue to do. And we'll be with you along the way.
I appreciate y'all too, 100%.
Today tastes like game day at home, like assigned couch seating. Tastes like coffee table dining and an ice cold Coke to cool down the heat. It tastes like the game you've waited for all week with friends you've known your whole life. Today tastes like watching football is supposed to, and it never tasted this good. Coca-Cola. Together tastes better.
Well, Jordan, a consensus All-American is such a big, big deal. And when you look at the list of how many names are on that in West Virginia history, it's really not a ton, because it's so hard to come by. And that's not at all to confuse or mistake the prestige that the West Virginia football program has. It's just a really, really hard accomplishment to be a consensus All-American, and you've had the opportunity to coach one here in Darius Stills. I'm assuming you're not surprised the fact that he was a consensus guy, but speak to what this means for the program, your defense, and your unit.
Well, I mean, you know, first off, you know, I can't. There's not enough words to say about what Darius has accomplished. You know, and to me. And I think it's important that I say this. Coach Brown had the exact reference of what it was, but I believe he was the only AP All-American outside of the college football playoff semifinal game that elected to play in his bowl game against a triple option team, and he knew what he was getting himself into. And he didn't come out of the game. I'm wrong. He came out of the game one play. He got cut down one play, and I had to put Jordan Jefferson in. And that right there in itself, take away all the accolades. And you want to ask yourself why? That's why. You know, you want to ask why or how is hard accomplishment. That's a rare thing. Well, if you want to know the why, that's what I just explained, and I'll never forget that as long as I coach, because he didn't have to do that. He didn't have to do that. He didn't. He. I'm sure he had people from all angles tugging at him to tell him not to. And he didn't blink an eye. So that's number one for him. And I hope and I pray that he gets all of the accolades beyond college football, or opportunities beyond college football, to do what he loves to do. Because you can't ever question that love for the game. Can't question the Virginia. You can't question the love for his teammates, because he proved that with what he did in the last game. As far as the program's concerned, it's huge. I mean, it's, you know, that's a rare thing to coach. It's the first one I've coached, and I've had two guys under me that have played the exact same position in the same style of defense. They're both starting in the NFL, one for the 49ers, one for the Seahawks. But if you look at the thing Darius does for us is give us something that, you know, in especially in recruiting, you try to say, hey, I can talk all day, and I can in recruiting is just selling, and I'm trying to sell you on West Virginia and what we do. But anytime you buy something, anytime somebody's selling you something, there's always proof of what they're selling. There's a proof in that product. And he's really just kind of an exclamation point on the last 5 to 6 years of this defensive scheme and what it's been able to accomplish with guys in the front four to the front six, if you will, as far as all conference players, players of the year, overall statistics, and then obviously it gets capped off here with Darius as a consensus All-American. That speaks to what we're, you know, and we build that defense around that core, that front, and they're the guys that it's designed to make those plays. You know, I spent most of my offseason last year because I knew what Darius was. I knew what he was going to – the attention that he was going to garner. So, like, I've got to spend some time here to find some things that are going to free him up. And so we just – you know, for the program, we just continue to build on that. And you know, even with COVID, which has made recruiting, you know, extremely difficult as far as, you know, your relationships and your evaluations. And so having that as a selling point definitely helps.
You mentioned the decision that he made to play in the bowl game, and I believe his decision was made, and correct me if I'm wrong here on the timeline, Coach, when Tennessee was the opponent. And the set of circumstances when you lose that game, and you mentioned triple option, and then you get Army, he still decided to play in that game, which is extremely significant, but the latter half is even more significant. Can you articulate and maybe help listeners understand, and I don't want to use the term danger, but there's some serious jeopardy that he put himself in by playing in that game because of Army's style of play. I just need to quantify that and have you articulate that if you could.
You know, it's – and let me go back. And you said that decision was made when we got Tennessee, you know, our first opponent. And me and Darius had a conversation around probably – game four or five, you know, with COVID, it was totally different. And they've come out that, you know, bowls were going to be pretty, you know, most everybody was going to have an opportunity to go to bowl as long as there were slots to fill for that bowl. And, you know, he actually told me, I don't even know if it was September or October, but he was like, Coach, I'm playing in a bowl game. You know what I'm saying? Like, and that's the best way to go. It didn't matter who the opponent would have been. He told me a long time ago, he was like, Coach, I'm gonna play in a bowl game. You know, whatever it is, whatever it may be. And so, you know, I mean, that's kind of an in-the-moment thing. And we were, you know, I think maybe that was right after the Kansas State win. And so we were rolling along pretty good. So everybody's happy. And then obviously you come back after Iowa State and everybody's not so happy. And to steal and lose the Oklahoma game twice or get it canceled twice. So everybody's it's kind of a deal where, you know, you're just looking for something positive to happen. And then we get Tennessee, that gets, you know, the kids are looking up to that. And then that gets taken away and we get Army. And as soon as that, you know, Neil called down the hall, we were in the office, just found out we lost Tennessee. And, you know, Coach Brown pulls me in and goes, hey. He said, hey, you know, the other option and the one that's probably going to be the only one is Army. And, you know, I mean, it's just one of those deals and knowing why me and Coach Dye both, why he pulled the defense coordinators in, because that's who it affected. You know, that was who it was going to affect the most, was something that's totally off your radar the whole year because you don't play one of those teams. So, and I say all that to put it in perspective, kind of how, you know, my mind was working. And then one of the things that did cross my mind, I was like, you know, for my guys positionally, this is, you know, you go back and forth on how to handle it, you know, and I usually handle things, hit it in the face right now, you know, just come out, say what it is. And I normally would say, I kind of took a step back and said, well, is that the best way to do it? And then I can't really not do that and be myself. So, you know, I walk in the meeting room, I'm like, look, here's what it is, guys. This is what these guys are going to do. And man, they hit it head on. And I was so proud of them, especially Darius, with how they handled that. And, you know, for him to make that, to stick with that and not only stick with that, like to play the way that he played, You know, him and Dante both got a little winded there at the end. I mean, they played 60 something plays, but if you watch that first quarter, they're taking dive and quarterback. You know, both of them. And the way they played that game will be something that I will never forget as a coach, no matter whether it's West Virginia or wherever in my career, because that attitude, that approach, to be honest with you, is hard to find now. It's leaving almost, and it's hard to. What I hope it does, as far as West Virginia football is concerned, I hope that is a lasting impression on our young guys and our future recruits or signees, whoever, even coaches, that's what we're going to be about. Like, that's who we are. That's what I hope more than anything that it does. Because, you know, Darius is always, you know, you always want your best players to be your leaders, the leadership of your football team, right? You always want your best players to take that role and be that guy. So what do you think of when you think of leadership? You think of a vocal guy. You think of a guy that can stand in front of the room and talk. And to be honest with you, that's not – That Darius is never like, that's just not who he is as a person. He's not that personality, you know, and he's very open with always me about it. And he always try to figure out a way to get a guy who's not very vocal or something like that to be that guy. And at the end of the day, you've realized that just let his play speak for it. Let his play leadership. And you know what? That's the best way that's the way he wanted to do it. And I hope that echoes down the line through West Virginia football as we try to, you know, continue to rebuild, you know, continue to build this thing into what Coach Brown wants it to be.
Jordan, where do you think he's going to be best suited in the NFL? How does he project, at least from where you sit right now and what you know about him at the next level?
You know, he's not, you know, I think anybody's going to look at it, and he's not going to be a nose guard. Now, how we play a nose guard and how NFL 3-4 defense plays a nose guard is totally different. So he's not, you can probably eliminate that position in anybody that runs that defense in the NFL. Now, what you've got also, you've got their defensive ends play different than a traditional five technique or wide nine rush technique, where they're more can play fours, heavy fives against tight end sets or four eyes, which he does fit skill set wise into that. Not necessarily body type wise, but skill set wise, he does. And he's strong enough to do it. He's powerful enough to do it, and he's explosive enough to do it. Now, you know, when I say those words I just said, that's really where he fits more than anything, with his explosiveness and his power. I think he's, you know, I played him a lot more three technique this year than we did the previous year. And then played his brother a lot more at a heavy, we call it heavy five and four eye this year than we did the previous year. Just we started evolving. You got to evolve into how you're built. But I also knew that Darius would project more moving outside of the A gaps, outside of a true nose, playing those true nose guard, what techniques a nose guard normally plays. Now, you know, if you look, you know, it's hard, and I'm not making a comparison here, but I've always, Darius and I've always really kind of studied what Aaron Donald does. Because that's what Aaron Donald is. Aaron Donald was undersized, explosive, and powerful. Mm-hmm. He's learned how to use that to make him, you know, one of the best, probably the best defensive player in the world right now.
Yep.
At least as far as the front's concerned. It's the kind of the same skill set. It's not the prototypical, but the power and the explosiveness, whether you want to call it twitch, quickness, whatever it is, that's his strength. So is it on the same level as that guy? I mean, I'm not, like I said, I'm not making a comparison. I'm just using somebody that has the same, the same skill sets that make them the player that they are. The same thing with Darius. That's what makes him a really good player is athleticism, powerful, power and explosiveness. And so that's going to, you know, probably move him out to a 3 or 4 eye, you know, kind of out in the front a little bit. But if you watch Aaron play on some, if you really, really watched a lot of the film, you'll see he moves around all over the place. And it's really, in that league, it's really everything, all 11 pieces are trying to find where the mismatch is, where's the matchup. And so what makes him really good is his matchup on those interior D linemen is an advantage for Darius, because if he can get them widened out just on the island a little bit, he has an advantage with his athleticism and his quickness. The short answer is I think he'd be a 3 technique, probably in more of a 4-down style of defense.
Okay, and it sounds like whatever the case may be, Jordan, there's all of the things that you mentioned, but I'm not sure if you did mention versatility, which is, I think, more important than ever right now at the next level. You did touch on it and hint to it a little bit earlier that, you know, what the league is trying to do, what they need to do. It seems as if he is a good modern-day fit for the league because of that versatility and what the league requires right now from the fronts.
Yeah, if you look at always go to the draft and – you know, it's the same thing I tell any recruit, you know, that's a 6'3 or 6'2 to 6'4, 5, 240 to 250 pound kid in high school that is not necessarily an elite edge rusher, but has some rush ability that, you know, that if they're at 18 and they're 255 pounds, they're going to be 290 before they blink. You know, and if I look at that draft, I look at guys that over the last couple of years, you know, Jeffrey Simmons at Tennessee is one that sticks out. You know, a couple of those guys from Clemson, they were the exact mold that are not prototypical if you go back 15 years ago to what if I go back to like a Tommy Harris that plays Oklahoma, and, you know, just the traditional big, huge, either nose guards or 3 techniques. If you look at the draft the last 2 years, that's not what they are. They're 6'2 to 6'4, 280 to 80 to 90, short of 300-pound guys that can rush the passer on the inside. Because if you look at the game, you know, the average that the quarterback's going to hold the ball, I don't know what the average is, but it's around 2 seconds. Mm. Going to be close. The ball's gone.
Sure.
You know, with offenses. You know, you watched the game last night. You know, the play designs that Alabama uses, it's hard to get to that. You know, it's hard to get to the quarterback.
Sure.
So what's the best way to do it is to have the skill set or the strength and the size enough to hold up inside. But you also better be able to rush the passer from the nose guard to the 3 technique. Otherwise, you've got a guy that's really just eating up space.
Wow. Yeah, no, that's all fascinating as to where it's going and how Darius fits in, which it seems like it's kind of like a glove over a hand here in many respects. So when your phone rings, and as NFL teams, I would like to think that they're starting, and they probably have been for a little while now, they're starting to do their recon, their homework, and this guy, obviously, any consensus All-American is going to jump off the page, and you're going to want to do your due diligence here. So from these NFL teams, what are some of the questions that they're asking you? What are they most curious about? That's what I want to know.
You know, I mean, they're going to do their normal work, you know, as far as, you know, will he work? Can he learn? Well, you know, what's his habits outside of football and things like that? And, you know, those are just the normal run-of-the-mill questions. But Darius specifically, you know, everybody's going to ask about his size. You know, Darius is going to be, you know, around 6'1", is going to be 275 pounds. You know, that's what he is. That's what he's going to be. So, again, you know, the NFL is they're going to ask that question and how that holds up against you know, they're going to look at the Texas game. They're going to look at these programs. They're going to look at Kansas State game that have history of NFL offensive linemen. They're going to look at those games. You know, that's why the Oklahoma game affected a lot of us, you know, especially so much because he wanted that, you know, he wanted that game. You know, he really did. And I get it. And I wanted him to have that game. But that's that's probably the most asked question that gets thrown at me is size and I get it. I mean, the NFL, where it could change and kind of shift to what we were just talking about. It's at the end of the day, it's still a big, fast, strong league, you know, and the biggest, the fastest, the strongest are going to have, you know, first dibs at most everything if their play matches what they look like. And so, you know, where to them, you know, the eye test with theirs is going to be important. You know, he has a lot of different, there's nothing injury wise. He's had a lot of little nicks, you know, so they always ask, you know, make sure that he's durable, which he is. I mean, you know, but you got to think last 2 years being the best player, he got a lot of people's attention. And he got double teamed and triple teamed sometimes a lot. And that when that happens, you get nicked up a lot. So, you know, when they see a guy, you know, holding a wrist coming off or holding a shoulder coming off, you know, they have those durability questions. But if you go back and look at the medical notes, surgery wise, and there's nothing, you know, nothing major. So,
right.
It's mainly just his size and his stature. That's always a big question.
Where do you think? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I mean, it's just any position in that league, that's, you know, that's going to be just the nature of the league.
Where do you think he falls at the end of the day? Not holding you to a prediction or anything along those lines, but or maybe where should he, I guess, at day's end? I know you're biased. You've got, you want him to go as high as he possibly can. I think we all do at the end of the day. So I'm curious as to what's going to get there.
You know, I think if Darius has predicting that deal for that league is
– sure.
If you really look at the history of it and you look at the first two rounds and what they're going to be, you know, you can almost – at this point in time, at the end of the college football season, you can lay out who there's going to be the three or four first five, whatever, first-round defense linemen. You can lay out who's going to be the top three quarterbacks, who's going to be the – you know what I'm saying? And that's, you know, and most of those guys have a body of work that warrants them being, you know, a pick, a round one pick or a round two pick. I don't know if it's that, but I think it'll depend on the next, really the next 3 months for Darius. You know, Darius is how he trains, how he tests, how he does, you know, when he meets with teams, as far as how he is in the meeting room. I mean, all of that is, you know, your play gets you into the conversation, you know, and it gets you, you know, to be honest with you, it only gets you so far because the NFL believes if you have a skill set, they can, no matter what I did or what Coach Moore did or the D-line coach at Syracuse or wherever, they really don't care, to be honest with you. They have, you know, I won't say it's ego or cockiness, but it really is, you know, to say, hey, we can take this guy and turn him into what we want him.
Mm-hmm.
Where they find that out, if they really believe they can do it, is over the next 3 months. How he trains when he doesn't have Mike Joseph standing over it. You know, how he handles, you know, how he treats his body when it's on him, you know, how, and I tell you what'll be a big question with a lot of these guys, how did he handle COVID? Because this was really the first time for an extended period of time that college athletes, it really, at the end of the day, it was on them, you know, it was on them. And if they handled COVID well, which Darius did, he'd send me videos every day asking me questions, fundamentally doing drills on his own, him and his brother. And if, you know, that's going to be a real question with NFL scouts. Like, how did he handle COVID? because if he can handle 8 months of quarantine or whatever it was, 4 or 5 months of shutdown, and him not being able to get into your weight room with your strength staff and work on your drills, and it was on him. If he come through that okay, he probably got a chance to be a pretty good pro.
Yeah.
And if he didn't come through that okay, he probably doesn't have a chance to be a good pro. And Darius did really well with that. So, you know, I think that I don't want to put a round number on it just because it's, but I think he'll, you know, I think if Darius has a great next 3 months, I think he'll be happy with it.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think we all will too, Coach. Really appreciate the insight and the perspective. It was all great stuff. Wish we could keep them forever, right? These are the kind that you know, a generational player that you hope has, you know, 6-7 years in him in some ways, shapes, and forms. But what he did here is certainly not going to be forgotten anytime soon. And thanks for all that you did with him. And we're looking forward to, I guess, the next wave and the next step and the next consensus All-American.
Yeah, you know, it's Darius has, you know, had an unbelievable, at least with me, 2 years. He's the type of guy that makes you a better coach. You just try to take that skill set and maximize it to his benefit and then obviously your scheme's benefit, and he did a great job. And, you know, as the good thing for us is that's a hard guy to replace, but as, you know, Dante can do the same thing.
Yeah, no doubt. We're looking forward to watching it all unfold. Jordan, be well. Take care of yourself.
Thanks, bud.
Today tastes like game day at home, like assigned couch seating. Tastes like coffee table dining and an ice cold Coke to cool down the heat. It tastes like the game you've waited for all week with friends you've known your whole life. Today tastes like watching football is supposed to, and it never tasted this good. Coca-Cola, together tastes better.
Well, I enjoyed both of these conversations, folks, and I hope you did as well. If you did, please, by all means, leave a comment, leave some feedback if you would. Give us 5 stars, 4 stars, whatever you think that we deserve, because the more that you vote, the more that you interact with your podcast platform, where this podcast is being distributed, and there are so many out there. It helps us climb the ladder. It helps us become mainstream. We see our podcast numbers growing and growing and growing. Believe it or not, we moved to the platforms that you're listening to, oh, I want to say about 1.5 to 2 years ago. It was, I believe, oh, I want to say fall of 18. Nevertheless, it's been about 1 or 2 because, as you likely know, media consumption habits are changing. We're always trying to figure out how we get the Golden Blue content to as many listeners as possible. But that's not necessarily the point here. The point is, since we moved to the platform, and a special exclusive announcement that you get here on the Mountaineer Insider Podcast, we are closing in on 1 million downloads/listens. Listen, we put out a ton of content. It's not just this podcast. You can listen to the coaches' shows on demand. Many of you do. We've put some classic games on this platform. Many of you have really taken to those. A lot of press conferences, a lot of player group media scrums that have just become so accessible. And I know you're reacting to this, but a pat on the back is we have been ranked among the Learfield IMG College schools as a top 5 podcaster in the country. That's actually been the case for a little while now. And shame on me for not actually informing you and talking a little bit more about this, because what you do matters in the grand scheme of things. And liking, subscribing, rating, commenting, and even if you don't want to do that, just simply listening as a repeat listener, it's really, really appreciated. So we have that going for us, but we're closing in on 1 million downloads in just like a couple of years' time. And that's the cool thing about, you know, the digital medium, that you can quantify that, and it's not necessarily the case in the traditional radio spectrum. You've got some ratings and things of that nature that you've long heard about, but those are not as precise as the digital platform. So here we are. And I say we because you're more a part of that than I am or anybody else here at MSN is. We're closing in on 1 million downloads. I would like to get there by the end of the scholastic year. We're closing in on about 940,000. So at the rate that we're going, good chance that we'll be there by the end of the basketball season. I certainly think that we can get there by the end of the baseball season. So we are going to, at some point in the coming months, be looking at 1 million downloads. Since we moved to, it's the Art 19 platform, that may be familiar for folks that are pulling this off of WVUsports.com, but it's a really cool platform because what it does is we upload it to Art 19, and then it will blast it out to the Apple platforms that largely dominate, I think, our listenership, but Stitcher, Google, we are on Spotify as well. I mean, there's literally a laundry list in so many platforms that it's hard to keep track of, but Apple, of course, is the big one. But all of the metrics and all of the listens, they count towards that number. It's a download and it's a listen. And listen, there are a lot of great blue blood programs out there within the Learfield IMG College family. And that is so significant when we're talking about Michigan, when we're talking about Texas, when we're talking about Penn State, no matter what the blue blood is, we are right up there neck and neck, and we have been, right? And this is with just traditional game broadcasts. You likely know if you follow us at WVU MSN, the Twitter polls that are coming out, or the results, I should say, that show us right up there with Nebraska, with Iowa. It's truly amazing to think about the audience that we have here, as Mountaineer Nation, of course, knows no borders whatsoever. And I just wanted to take a minute to let you know that, have that conversation, and thank you, congratulate you, kind of hug you if you would over our digital platforms here, and just tip my hat to you, and thanks for coming back. And if you're a first-time listener, I hope we have you for a long time, because we really strive to put some stuff out here that you enjoy, and that you can pass some time with us, whether you're on the treadmill, whether you're staying up late with a little one, whether you're at work, and we're just sort of some background noise. But it all counts, and people are starting to take notice, and it's really, really important that you're listening, and the way that you're listening, and the frequency in which you listen, because that is big-time stuff for the university. All right, well, I've said enough, and I hope you enjoyed the conversation with Darius and Coach Leslie. Until next time, everybody, stay safe. Hail West Virginia. As always, let's go Mountaineers, and thank each and every one of you for listening to this here edition of the Mountaineer Insider Podcast on MSN, the Mountaineer Sports Network.
You've been listening to the Mountaineer Insider here on the Mountaineer Sports Network from Learfield IMG College. And be sure to find the latest news and information on the Mountaineers at WVUsports.com. The following has been a presentation of Learfield IMG College.